Now, our reading tonight will be in John's Gospel, chapter 12, and we'll be reading from 12 to verse 8. John's Gospel, chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone against the day of my burying, has she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. So just for a few comments on this section, and it's really, I was thinking of our sisters that come. They do not pray publicly. They pray inaudibly. They come before Christ at each meeting and can be great prayer warriors for family, for friends, and for the concerns of the spreading of the gospel throughout the world. So I hope it'll be a bit of encouragement for you. And not only from me, but from the very Son of God himself. And we have many examples of that. Christ came at his virgin birth through one who was highly favored, who was blessed more than any other woman, that she was chosen, that the Spirit of God would put into her none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how he came into this world, by the virgin birth. But she was chosen. And we would also think of the Lord, how he traveled on this public scene for those 3.5 years, perhaps. And what did he do? For 30 years, he had a trade, we could say. He was brought up as a young boy in his father's carpentry shop. And I've heard it said of the Lord that he allowed himself to be taught, but every piece he made was perfect. But when he came into public ministry, we read in Luke 8, 2-3, there were those women that ministered unto him, that followed him, and of their substance, they seen to the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. We read in God's word that he is the owner of a cattle upon 1,000 hills. The earth is his. The universe is his. The sea is his. The sky is his. If he asked for it, it would be given him. He didn't need their substance, but he accepted from the hands of holy women that came to him, that were saved by him. And we have Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and there was many others. There was Mary Magdalene. They all gave of their substance to see to the earthly needs of the Lord Jesus Christ. How often does someone come to us to give us something, and they're perhaps a young girl or a young boy or a friend, and they go to give you something, you say, well, I don't need that, I've got 10 of those. And, that's okay, but in a little bit it sort of hurts you. The Lord Jesus Christ needed nothing from them, but he willingly took it from these sisters, willingly took it from them, that for his sojourn on this earth, they supplied his sustenance. Also, we see who were the faithful at the cross of Christ. Who were those in the garden scene? What do we read? They all forsook him. And whom do we see? The faithful, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, those women of Galilee that stood by. I realize we read of John, but the apostles in the collective sense were not there. We read of John, but those women were there as a testimony to him, because from the day that they were saved to the day that he dismissed his spirit, and to the day that he resurrected from his tomb, those women were there. So we see them also at the cross. We also see them at the tomb, at the first to see the resurrected Jesus Christ, the Son of God, now no longer the carpenter's son. Now, no longer the meek and humble Jesus. Still the God of compassion. He still foretold the love and the desire of him to meet with those whom he loved, whom believed in him. And we read that Mary was without the tomb and she was weeping. But she was weeping by herself. The first person the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to was a woman. Now we come to our subject tonight, Mary of Bethany. And we read, as we had, that she took a pound of spikenard that was very costly. She broke it. And she anointed the feet of Jesus Christ. And the odor of that ointment filled the house. Three times in the gospel we read, specifically titled, Mary of Bethany. Three times. In Luke 10 and 38 to 39. And it came to pass that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Then we read in John 11:32, then there was Mary come to where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. We see Mary in three positions. All those that came to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth, ministering, being the obedient son, telling people how to get back to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, or to God himself, to bridge that gap through the death of his son upon the cross of Calvary. They all came because they had a need. They came to see perhaps if he could heal them of leprosy, of blindness, of paralysis. Perhaps there was a funeral briar coming down the road, and there was weeping. And the Lord Jesus raised the very dead back to life again. He did it with Lazarus, Mary's brother. But when Mary came to him that day, when she took that costly gift of spikenard, it wasn't that she came for her own need. She was the one person in the world that came to give him his due. The one person who knew, revealed perhaps by the Spirit of God, that she was anointing him unto his death and burial. Think of it, of all. You think it would be one of the apostles. If I was to choose an apostle, I would think, obviously, it would be John. John was so close to the Lord. John rested his head upon the Lord's breast, the apostle whom Jesus loved. But no, it was revealed to Mary of Bethany. Not anyone, an ordinary woman, not of perhaps of great wealth, just a saved soul in some capacity that she could do to give honor and praise to God. And she anointed, she consecrated the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the people in the world at that time, he chose a woman to reveal that. If we are to read, we read three things about Mary that she did in the three Gospels. She sat at his feet to learn. And she took to his feet the great grief that she had in her heart because her brother had died. Lord, if thou had been here. And the Lord comforts her. And in John 12 and 3, we see Mary at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. And she gave her best. The best that she could afford. The best that she could give. And it was spikenard to anoint him or to consecrate the Lord Jesus Christ for his coming death. And it was costly. It's kind of interesting, just in this short 8 verses, that we have 5 people we can look at. 5 people that are mentioned in this short 8 verses. 5 individuals. First, we could look at Martha. And what was Martha concerned with? Now, Martha was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, too. She was listening to him, too. She heard his words, too. But then she was caught up with service. Oh, they're hungry. They're thirsty. She was taking up with not insignificant things, but not the most significant thing at that time. So we could put to Martha the word service. With Lazarus, he sat at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. What conversation would that have been? Lazarus, come forth. It has been said from this platform before that if the Lord Jesus Christ had not mentioned Lazarus by name, that all the dead would have come forth. But Lazarus came forth, and now he's sitting down and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face, a man brought back from the dead. What conversation would be there? And we look at Mary, and as we've been mentioning, she came and she did the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a service. That was the due of a holy and righteous Son of God. That was due him. What did the religious system, what did the nation of Israel do? What did the Gentiles do? The nation said, "We shall not have this man to rule over us." The two thieves, perhaps, and then the multitude that passed by in the front of the cross would yell out cursings in their teeth and terrible things about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the world gave. But what did this one woman do? A revelation to anoint the Lamb of God, the very Son of God. And she had that privilege. So Mary, we can put to her the anointing. And I'm just going to stop there, because with Martha and Lazarus and Mary, we can identify ourselves, especially our sisters. We can, with Martha, we can identify in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. We always think of service as running around and doing this and doing that. And that's all valid. Everything that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, the spread of the gospel and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a valuable service. But we're here to serve Him. We're here to be led by the Spirit of God. And sometimes that's hard to discern with the human mind. But nonetheless, God would give us His word to give us direction. And we're to commune with God. God seeks worshipers. God seeks Marys. And where does He seek them? He wants them at His feet. A place of privilege. A place of drawing near. A place of knowing Him. It would just be a term I'd use from the Roman Catholic Church. Rhetoric. It's a place of deep love and appreciation of Christ. It was costly. She probably saved up that money for years. Who knows? Or maybe she was given a gift, but she gave it to Him. But the costly part is what the Lord tells us of her. It's not so much that the Lord cared that it was costly. It was she cared because she had given. Like the woman who went into the temple with her two mites. The Lord wasn't concerned with how much she gave, but he noted this. He gave of all her substance. A lesson for us. And a lesson that we could all benefit from. Now Judas is mentioned. He really shows us the attitude of the world towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He's more concerned, how does it say it, that the one who should betray him. That the money should have been given to the poor, and that he had the bag and bear that which was in it. What's in our bag that's more important than the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that the world would say it's important for me to have all the toys of entertainment? And there's nothing wrong with them in their self as long as they don't take you away from the Lord. That they don't displace God in our lives, in my life. So we have to do a sort of self-judgment. But he was concerned with the money because he had the bag. And he was concerned with that which was in the bag. So we have to be careful that what's in our bag is not representative of what is in the world's bag, because the two don't match. The first three, Martha, Martha, Lazarus, and Mary is service, is appreciation, is worship. The world, what did they say? What was the world's cry? We will not have this man to rule over us. It's the same cry today, the same indifference to the person of Christ and his work upon the cross of Calvary, the same unbelief. And what do they try to fill it with? They try to fill that bag with everything, and it changes. It changes so much that it goes around in a circle. So what was 40 years ago now is the new thing today. I just got a minute or so. And you might think that's might not really be true, but if you look at all the old rock stars that are touring in their 60s and 70s, I mean, you've got the Rolling Stones, you've got, there's not too many left of the Beatles, but you got Paul McCartney, you have them. And if you talk to some young people, they say, oh, that's something new. Well, it's not new. It's just the world going around in a big circle. We have to be careful of what's in the bag. That our bag is filled, our mind is filled, our life is filled with Christ. And what is the Lord Jesus Christ who is mentioned? What's his attitude? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. This commandment have I received of my Father, that I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. The Lord Jesus Christ's attitude was to do the Father's will. The Son's objective for all humanity, for all time, in their sin and rejection of him, was to go to the cross for me, and all the shortcomings I have, all the sin that is in my life, that he came and died on the cross of Calvary. He is the one who is the perfect servant, who is the perfect son, who is the perfect lamb. You know, at his birth they did well when the angel came and said, for that child which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And then we read that you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. It is a privilege, if you're saved, to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are his, that he gave us all, and like Mary and like those sisters, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, in prayer, in service, in worship. John 4:23 said to the woman at the well, and I'll close, another woman that he revealed a divine truth. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And for every saved soul and every child of God, we have that privilege to do each and every day of our life, from the youngest believer to the oldest. If you're saved for a few years or a day or a minute, you have that privilege to serve the holy and righteous God in heaven in service, in obedience, and in love. No wonder we sing that song, Hallelujah, what a Savior, Jesus is mine. We'll just close in prayer.